If you have the Word of God with you this evening, would you turn, please, to the Book of Daniel? We're turning tonight to the Book of Daniel and to the fifth chapter, Daniel and the chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, and we'll begin our reading of God's Word at the verse 21. Daniel 5 and verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen. May the Lord bless the public reading of God's own holy, infallible, and inerrant word to our hearts. As we have done every meeting of this campaign, before we consider God's holy word for the meeting, we want to look to the Lord himself. It's his word, and we need his help to proclaim the word. And again, I ask that every Christian would lift your heart to the Lord and pray tonight for a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Will you pray to that end with me even now? Let us seek the Lord. O our God and eternal Father, we do not rush into thy presence Rather, Lord, tonight we bow head and heart because we're very conscious that we're in the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, we have just read tonight thy truth. Thou hast reminded us even tonight that the breath of every one of us here is held in the hand of God Almighty. The breath that we have now is our own, but the next is in the hand of God. And, O Lord, if thou wast to close thy hand upon the breath of some tonight in this meeting, Lord, thou knowest, and they know, and we know, that they would die in their sins and perish in a lost eternity. And, O God, I pray tonight, in wrath, thou would remember mercy. I pray, O God, thou will have mercy. O God, have mercy on sinners in the tent tonight. Have mercy on backsliders in the tent tonight. And speak to every heart. Speak to my own heart, Lord, as I proclaim this solemn word. Now, Lord, I pray and I claim the power of the Spirit of God. Grant to me that power. And help me, Lord, to preach the word faithfully. And in so doing, help me to preach Christ. And, O Lord, put the blood in the meeting now. Bind the devil, I pray, and deliver souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our text for this evening is a very solemn one indeed. It is the verse 30. And there in verse 30 we read these words, "In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain." After the site of Babylon was chosen, 2 million men were employed in the construction of the walls in the principal parts of the city. The walls of the city were 60 miles in circumference. They were surrounded by a trench out of which had been dug the materials for the construction of the city. There were 25 gates of solid brass on each side of the four square city. Between each two gates, a great watchtower sprang up into the heavens. From each of the 25 gates on either side, a street ran through the city to meet the gates on the other side. And each street in that city was 15 miles long. A branch of the great river Euphrates also ran through that city, over which a bridge was built. At each end of that bridge stood two palaces. One palace 1.75 miles in circumference. The other palace 7.5 miles in circumference. But in the midst of the city was Babylon's crowning glory. For there stood the temple palace of Belos. One of its towers was 1/8 of a mile high. This temple was full of cups, statues, censers, all made of gold. But in spite of all of her splendor, wealth, and beauty, the city of Babylon was besieged, and the city of Babylon was doomed. Though it had provision for many years, this city of Babylon would fall in one night. But who would have thought it? For in that magnificent temple, palace of Belos, we read in verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. And you look into that great temple that night, and we see the gold and silver plates flash on the king's table. Rich red wine flows from tankards into golden cups, and 1,000 lords lift their cups and drink to the health of the king. Let the king live forever. Let the king live forever was their cry. They raised those glasses or those cups again. Drink to the glory of Babylon. Drink to the defenders of the city. Drink to a glorious future. And again they drink to the health of King Belshazzar. Then 1,000 drunken lords fall back on their chairs, cursing and swearing and vulgar laughter. The besotted king of Babylon sags back in his chair and stares vacantly at the wall. Then suddenly, that vacant stare takes on intensity. For as he gazes, the lords join him in their gaze. And over there where the candlestick stood, writing began to appear upon the wall. For out of the dark sleeve of the night came the fingers of a man's hand. And those fiery fingers began to write there upon that wall. And among other things that those fiery fingers wrote, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. The silence is shattered with a deafening sound at the palace gates, followed by a clashing in of the doors, and 1,000 gleaming daggers were raised, and 1,000 gleaming daggers plunged into the trembling hearts of 1,000 lords. And that night, death was king in Babylon, and death's throne that night was the bodies of 1,000 dead lords, 1,000 corpses lay on the beautiful floor of the temple palace of Belos. For that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Happened in a night. The lords had just drunk to the health of the king, to the future of Babylon. And the kingdom was taken by the Medes and Persians, and the great king Belshazzar was slain, and slain in one night. What does this teach us? This teaches us, my friend, that no matter how secure we may feel, God can remove us at a moment's notice. You look at those words at the end of verse 23, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. You want to read those words over and over and over again. You want to memorize those words. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. That was Daniel's message to Belshazzar, a message he had received from God. And we might well repeat those words tonight. The God in whose hand thy breath is, thou hast not glorified. Thou hast gone on living in sin and in disobedience to a holy God. You live every day sinning against Jehovah, the Lord God of heaven. You haven't glorified God in His Son. You haven't received His Son as your Savior. You haven't acknowledged the God of heaven as your Lord and your friend and your King and your Savior. And I want you to remember something. Your breath is in the hands of God. He holds your breath in His hands. So I want us this night to learn something from that terrible night in Babylon. I want us to learn from Belshazzar. For that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. The first thing that I notice about that dreadful night in the temple palace of Belos is that it was a night of great wickedness. What a terrible thing for any man, any soul, any woman to suddenly pass into eternity in a night of great wickedness. To pass into the presence of a holy God with the reek of alcohol upon your breath, profane words spewing out of your mouth, and a heart stained with every sin imaginable. Oh, to pass into God's presence in such a state. Dreadful. What kind of a hell is that man entering into in such a dreadful condition? And I want to say tonight, my friend, if you don't do something about your awful state, that dreadful night will come upon you. And come just as suddenly as it came upon Belshazzar, because remember this, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My friend, you'll not mock God and get away with it. Sometime, somewhere, in some place, It may be at night. It may be in the morning. It may be in the day. But somewhere, sometime, someplace, you will meet God. Somewhere, sometime, someplace, you also will be slain. And where, my friend, will your soul be? I want you to face up to that tonight. I would like you to face up to it right now. I would like you to ask yourself, if I were to die tonight after this gospel meeting, where indeed would my soul be? Come on, answer it. Where will your soul be if the sword of God's wrath were to fall tonight upon you? And the talk would go around the town. Did you hear the news? So-and-so died last night. Yea, man dieth and giveth up the ghost. Man passeth away, and where is he? Where would you be? Where would you be? That night of wickedness in Babylon was a night of drinking. You look at the opening four verses. We'll not take time to read them, but in the opening four verses, you will find the word drink mentioned five times. In the first verse, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. And they went on drinking, and they went on drinking. Five times drink is mentioned in the first four verses. The banquet began with the consumption of intoxicating liquor and continued along that vein. Nothing much has changed. Sure, it hasn't. Nothing much has changed for men today still feel and still believe. They cannot have a party and they cannot have a good time unless they have a belly full of drink. Not right? They have to cart in the cartons of booze. And they can't have a good time without the beer flowing. Now, if there's anybody here in this meeting tonight, and you're foolish enough to believe that, I have got news for you. Maybe you're a boozer tonight. Maybe normally Friday night you'd be down in some bar or club somewhere, or sitting in front of the television swigging down a beer. Maybe you're a boozer tonight. Well, I've news for you. And I want you to listen carefully. I'm not telling you any fairy stories. I'm telling you God's honest truth. I want you to think about the curse of strong drink. Do you know something? The curse of Almighty God is on strong drink, on the consumption of strong drink, and on the sale of strong drink. And on the distribution of strong drink, God's curse is on it. Habakkuk 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink. Mark the words. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou may look upon his nakedness. That's what Belshazzar did that night. He had a feast for 1,000 of the lords, and they drank, and they drank, and they drank. God said, woe unto him that giveth drink to his neighbor. That's exactly what Belshazzar did. And that night of his drinking was a night of woe, because that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. He faced God with the cup still in his hand. the foul smell on his breath, his belly full of strong drink, and the curse of a holy God upon him. That's how he went out into eternity. Now, you don't want to join him, do you? You don't want to partner Belshazzar where he is tonight as you're sitting here in a gospel meeting amongst praying friends in the day of opportunity, in the day of grace. Why then would you die as Belshazzar died? Why then would you go out into eternity as Belshazzar did? Why then would you face God as Belshazzar faced God? A drunken, blaspheming wretch. He's in hell tonight. There's no doubt about that. He died in his sins, and every man or woman who dies in their sins go down into the bottomless pit. Curse of God is upon strong drink. Want you to think of something else. Want you to think of the cruelty of strong drink. The cruelty that comes along with strong drink. You see, my friend, any of the pleasures that the devil has to offer, there's always a cost. There's always consequences. And drink is no exception. Listen to these words, Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrows? Who hath redness of eyes? Who hath wounds without cause? I tell you, the consumption of strong drink is cruel. Alcohol is a cruel, deceptive demon. And I can tell you, I know firsthand what I'm talking about. My father was an alcoholic. I know what it is to see an alcoholic. And I swore from my earliest days I would never touch that stuff. And praise God and his grace, I never have. But I saw what it did to my mother. I saw what it did to our home. I saw what it did to his business. He could have died a rich man. Instead, he died a pauper. And drink did it all. I hate the stuff. Billy Sunday said he would fight the drink trade till hell freezes over. I would stand alongside Billy Sunday. What a catalog of woes, sorrow, contentions, babblings, wounds without cause, and redness of eyes has drink produced in those who tarry long at the wine. But the biggest woes and sorrows that strong drink produces has been the damnation of countless lost souls. In years gone by, during the great London plague, the black plague of the city of London, the death carts were drawn through the streets during those days and gathered up the people, the corpses, loaded them into the death carts. So the devil has loaded up his death carts with the souls of those who have succumbed to the plague of drink. and in an endless procession carries all away to their eternal doom. And the death carts are rumbling through Makra Felt tonight. And the devil's death carts are rumbling through every town and city in Ulster. And those death carts are loaded up with individuals who have spent a fortune on strong drink, only for the devil to carry them away into the caverns of the damned. Are you a man or a woman who tarries long at drink? Are you a man who would say to me tonight, oh, I only engage in social drinking? That's where it all starts, my friend. It's the first drink. And there it was that night in Babylon. It was drink after drink after drink after drink. And God says, woe unto him who giveth his neighbor drink. And that very night that Belshazzar gave his neighbor drink, Belshazzar was slain. And if you're a boozer tonight, the God of heaven hates what you're doing. And the God of heaven will deal with you one day, just as he dealt with Belshazzar. There's the curse of strong drink. There's the cruelty of strong drink. And we cannot forget about the consequences of strong drink. There's always consequences attached to sin, always. Always consequences attached to sin. So there is with strong drink. We look again at Proverbs 23. Listen to this. Verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, here's the consequences. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. At the last, can't get away from the curse and the cruelty and the consequences of strong drink. Sadly, many have experienced the serpent's bite. Many have experienced the adder's sting. At the first it charms. Always have to smile when you see these commercials for drink and whiskey and brandy and beer and the whole load of poisonous liquid. Shows you young people nicely dressed and having a fun time, and they're smiling and there's laughter. It's all a lie. It's all a big lie of the devil. It's a lie of hell. You want to stand outside the pubs at night. You want to see those men lying in the gutter, choking on their own vomit. That's the true advertisement for strong drink. There you have the true consequences of strong drink. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And many today have felt the pain of that bite and that sting. The sting of poverty, the sting of broken health, the sting of broken marriages, the sting of broken homes, and the sting of a broken life. Friend, I beg you tonight in God's name, take heed to what God's word is saying. If you're a boozer tonight, give it up. Before it drags you and your wife and your family and your home down into hell. Can you imagine what it'll be like? For a boozing mother or father in hell. To have their children join them there. And say, Father, you introduced me to this stuff. You bought my first beer. You gave me my first glass of whiskey. Father, it has damned my soul. Can you imagine what it would be like for that father to listen to the cries and the groans and the moans of his children throughout all eternity that he helped to damn in hell? That would make hell two hells. Think of all the lives and the marriages and the homes that drink has destroyed. And you better be careful. We've already seen the woe. Who hath woes? God said unto Belshazzar, woe. And that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldean slain. I wonder what night it will be for you. I wonder what day it will be for you. I wonder what date will be on your headstone. It's coming. You'll not avoid it. It was not only a night of drinking, it was a night of defiance. Drunkenness will often lead to a man behaving in a defiant manner against God. For you see what Belshazzar did. He sent for the sanctified vessels of the temple. Vessels that had been sanctified for the use of the worship of God in the temple. And he brought them out, verses 2 to 4, and filled them with drink. And his thousand lords used those same vessels in an act of defiance against a holy God. The night Belshazzar was slain was a night of drinking. It was a night of drunkenness. It was a night of desecration. It was a night of defiance. He filled the holy vessels of the Lord with wine and drank and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. This behavior was an affront to God. Praise the gods of gold, silver, and brass, instead of praising the God of heaven. My friend, do you praise the God of heaven? Are you sold out to the gods of this world? The God of gambling, the God of drink, the God of drugs. The God of vice. Well, Belshazzar refused to glorify the God of heaven, and God struck him down, for in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldean slain. It was as if God had had enough. Belshazzar had insulted the Lord. Belshazzar was challenging the Lord. Well, God took up the challenge. God took up the challenge, and God won the contest, for that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. You see, my friend, you can't win There was Belshazzar in his magnificent temple, in his magnificent city, walled and gated with guards and towers. But even as they drank to his health, the Medes and Persians were already breaking down the gates and were just about to burst in upon the doors of that temple. Can't win, you see. You can't win against God. Listen. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Tell me, my friend, do you fear God tonight? You need to fear God. Remember, your breath is in his hands. You better treat him right. You better deal with God properly. Your breath is in his hands. Don't go out tonight of this tent in defiance of God and his Bible and his word. Because that's what you do. If you go out tonight without the Lord in your heart, you're saying to the Lord God Almighty, I don't need your Bible. I don't need your word. I don't need your gospel. I don't need your son. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I told you the other night about three drunken men who left a pub in the town of Port Hope, where my church is. Went out into the Lake Ontario in a boat and defied one of them, defied God to strike him down. And I told you the story. That's exactly what God did. He died in the boat out there in Lake Ontario. And just to show you that that's not a one-off or a carried story. Most of you know I ministered in Newton Abbey Church for 13 and a half years. While I was there, I learned about the story of a man, again in a pub one night. Of course, the pub and the strong drink soon loosens the tongue, doesn't it? Men start to cry out and defy God. Well, this man stood after he got a feed of drink in him, and he stood in the bar and the floor, and he stood back, and he said, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me down now. This happened in Glengormley. Nothing happened. And the man with a smile on his face says, there you are. There's no God. He went on drinking that night. The pub closed. He went home. Went to his bed. Got up the next morning. Went up the street to get his morning paper. Came back down again. He sat in his easy chair. His wife was in the kitchen making breakfast. When she had the breakfast made, she called him. There was no answer. And she went into the room in his easy chair, and he was sitting there, stone dead. There's a God, all right. There's a God in heaven. And you think of it, you think of the mercy and the grace of God extended to that man by the God that he cursed and the God he defied. God could have struck him down that night as he stood on the floor of the bar, but he gave him an opportunity. He gave him time to repent. He was able to get home from the bar that night. He was able to get up the next morning. He had time to repent. But no repentance came. And Belshazzar, it was the night of his slaying, but that man in Glengormley, in that morning, was the man from that pub slain. You be careful. Don't act in defiance of God. He's still the same. He's still the same. It was a night of great dread. It was a night when God sent Belshazzar a message. And the fingers that had written the law on tables of stone were the same fingers that wrote on the plaster of the wall where the candlestick stood. Belshazzar, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom is finished. You see, God's patience had run out. God's patience with this defiant ruler had come to an end. And God was finished with Belshazzar. And the king and his soul was doomed. And isn't that what God is saying to you tonight? You're found wanting. For you see, in this tent, God has set up the balances. And the soul of every unconverted man or woman or young person in this tent tonight is weighed in those balances. And God checks the balances and he discovers you're found wanting. Found wanting. And God has found you wanting. You only have one hope tonight. One hope. That hope's in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. The Lord saved the chief of sinners. And the Lord can save you. He's your only hope. I tell you, he's your only hope. It's not the church. Whatever you do, don't look to the church as your hope. Or the waters of baptism. Or your confirmation. There's no hope there, none whatsoever. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. And he's here tonight. And he'll give you salvation. And he'll set you free from whatever binds you tonight to this world. He'll set you free from whatever takes away your joy and your happiness and your peace. He'll set you free tonight, and glory to God, him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. My time is gone. But you'll notice it was a night of great warnings. The writing on the wall was a timely warning. It came just before Belshazzar was slain. It was a truthful warning. The soothsayers couldn't interpret the writing, so they sent for Daniel. And Daniel came, and it was a difficult message to proclaim, but he delivered it. And he told Belshazzar the truth, you're finished, you're a finished king. Your kingdom is done. You yourself is finished. Your city's finished. Daniel told him the whole truth. Now, whatever you say about the preacher tonight, whatever criticism you may have of him, will not matter one iota to me. But I want you to know this. That by the grace of God, what I've said tonight is the truth. You don't want me to stand here and tell you a bunch of lies. There are too many lies been told in these days about religion and about heaven and about hell and about salvation. They're all lies. Do the best you can and you'll get to heaven. That's a lie. Be a good neighbor and you'll get to heaven. That's a lie. There's no such a place as hell. That's a lie. Everybody goes to heaven. That's a lie. Now, my friend, I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is, you need the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. You need to be washed in His blood. You need to come tonight and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need to tell the truth to the Lord. You need to be truthful to yourself and say, I need to be saved. And you be truthful with the Lord, and the Lord will be truthful with you. For He's faithful and He's true to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It was also a night of great woe. The music turned to the groans of the dying. The wine had turned to blood. And 1,000 corpses covered the floor, the temple palace of Belos, because in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldean slain. May God have mercy on your soul tonight. Let's bow in prayer.